Hi, this is Dan Weinstein, and it's now just barely Sunday, October 16th, 2005. I just finished Skyping with a friend from graduate school. He's a poet and a professor, and lately he's been turning himself into a podcaster. Tonight we talked about Skype, we talked about outlining, and we talked about Delicious, the social bookmarking service. I hope you will enjoy these highlights from our conversation.
I think you were telling me...
There you go.
Or maybe I was hearing on the EdTech Posse or something that that this sort of conversation can be linked to others. You can have a conference call kind of thing. Is that right?
Yes. It works. And you can do it with landlines, too. I've got about €6 left of time that I have to use by mid-November. On my birthday last May, I spent $13 and bought, I don't know how much time of Skype out. Yeah. And I figured that I would call people, you know. That's, I think, when I started leaving messages on your answering machine. And you schmuck, you should call people. So I did. So I've got some time. So I called my Aunt Gertrude in Yonkers, and I called my parents at the same time. And so I had my Aunt Gertrude on the line, along with my parents' answering machine.
So you got to talk her through probably even one of her first dance.
So we did. Now, can you imagine? I mean, that's really, it's kind of an automated podcast because I had my guest and I had me and we were being recorded.
There you go.
At the same time. So
that's funny.
That's what happened. But yeah, what I'll do, I mean, this is.
I just listened through it and I realized I'd like sort of bashed a whole bunch of things together and they were cutting each other off. So, but that's okay because I made an outline.
That's the thing. I mean, outlines are making a comeback.
It was quite fascinating to hear. I guess it's Dave Weiner who did Coffee Notes talking about. I mean, just the general way he was talking about differences in kind of programming and user cultures, and like, you know, the difficulty of finding somebody literate in Silicon Valley who could appreciate that an outliner, or the fact that he needed sort of to be taught as a programmer, that an outliner would actually be useful to people who weren't, you know, writing code with it and all that sort of thing. But I kind of like that.
I noticed that if you want to have notes that are usable, that you can refer to while you're talking, they better be short.
Levels. Yeah.
They better be one or two words that's evocative enough to do it. And that gave me the idea of using pictures instead as the prompt, as the mnemonic aid. So when I have my students write entries in their journals, I ask them to draw a picture at the same time. And then later on, they can recall not just what they wrote in the journal entry, but the entire scene of writing. What they were thinking, what was going on around them when they see the picture again.
Yeah.
So we keep the pictures on hand and use them to prompt their memories.
I guess I must be much less visual in some way because I guess I haven't actually done it, so.
That's the thing. I too thought that I was visually impaired.
Yeah.
And then I
was going to actually say it in a positive way, like sort of textually supercharged or something. You know?
I always felt it as a lack.
Yeah. Well, I tried to bluster my way through.
But I remember the moment, and then I knew that something was changing inside me.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. But it's got to be short, whatever it is, if you're going to look at it and absorb it while you're trying to finish a sentence that yeah. you're talking.
I mean, the sort of equivalent or complementary issue for me would be the sort of visual look of things on the page. Like sometimes when I transfer between different computers, or if I move from web to word processing or vice versa, and end up like making a significant alteration in the formatting or font, or, you know, if the page alters, mm-hmm. even if I haven't done anything, you know, like even if it's not a particularly artfully formatted sort of thing, like I sort of feel disoriented, you know.
Yeah.
Why did somebody put this into Courier type? You know, and suddenly they're my words, but you know, it's almost like it's been rendered a distance from me. And so,
huh. That's interesting. I mean, I'm
always doing it for a conference too. You know, you're like, you decide at the last minute that it would be helpful to have it, you know, in triple space, or, you know, more margin so that you can scan down the page more easily, or something dumb like that. You know, and then you look at it and you think, where did this come from? Where's my paper?
The other thing that I'm noticing now is the kind of ubiquity of the RSS feed for each and every web page I go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know about the social bookmarking stuff, like Delicious and Furl and Spurl and those kinds of things?
No.
You can store bookmarks, right? Because bookmarks, they're light. They don't, you know, you're not uploading a 6 megabyte file to anybody's server.
Right.
They give you an account, and you input your bookmark, and you annotate your bookmark, and you tag your bookmark, and then your bookmark gets added to your own personal list of bookmarks. It gets listed on the list of recently added bookmarks. People can subscribe to your list of bookmarks and read what you're reading. They can subscribe to one of your tags, so they can read a category of bookmarks, you know, bookmarks in a category. You can cross-reference bookmarks, so they can, you know, and so the permutations are infinite.
This would be a little bit like setting up something on Bloglines using that web,
yes,
that server-based aggregator, and then sharing your list, except that this doesn't have to be, this isn't limited to RSS identified kinds of things.
Right.
It would also be your bookmarks to static web pages.
Right. And they could be bookmarks to your own weblog entries.
Right.
You know, I mean, if something like Blogger doesn't support categories, which it doesn't at the moment, you can categorize your entries and post a link to that subscription on the weblog. So if your audience is interested in your posts about poetry but not your posts about your family, then they can, you know, they can differentiate the content that way. So you don't have to have two blogs. You can have one blog and use tags and subscriptions to manage the information.
But are those syndicated?
They can be. They can be. Every page has an RSS feed.
Hmm.
I just sent you a link to my bookmarks. And so there are researchers whose blogs are lists of annotated bookmarks. I mean, basically, you know, some of what I'm doing is that kind of thing. Where you find a resource, find a way to fit it into what you're doing, annotate it, and post the annotation.
Huh. I'm looking at Delicious right now.
You can see that.
Bookmark in the old-fashioned way for the moment, but huh.
Yeah, so it's like
when I look at your main page here on Delicious, what is I see like ten items there, or whatever. Is that just sort of like, is that by date, and then the categories are showing up on the tagging on the
Yeah, the tags are on the right. The most recent bookmarks are on the left, and then you can elect to show more items per page, and you can go back in time earlier or later toward the bottom.
Essentially, plagiarism avoidance is your latest.
Yeah.
Your most recent ad.
Yeah, the Duke one, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's Duke.
Wow.
So
that
it's
my
So what is the
the other thing I guess you're seeing here is everybody else who's subscribed to it. When I look at something like Mark Prensky's writing.
Yeah.
Let's see, and 18 other people. So that's other folks who are also subscribed using Delicious.
Yes. Yeah, the idea being, well, if they like him and I like him, maybe I'll like what else they have linked
like
to,
him
and
follow them.
Right.
Wow.
And that's the social bookmarking idea. That's the big concept. So instead of letting Amazon.com tell you people who bought this book also bought, you can do it more informally. And
do you have access? Like Dan today says, two other people are using Delicious to get to it. So, so you can look and all right. So anybody can look. I was just going to ask whether you can use it to sort of track interest in your site, but anybody can because I pulled up a list that shows the list of the three, whoever blog and Ann773 are.
Right. I mean, if you put in to Google a search for Delicious, DEL.ICIO.US, and limit it to that site, and then put in a tag like poetry, you get Delicious/tag/poetry, and this gives you all of the bookmarks that anybody has recorded, entered, and tagged with the poetry tag.
Wow! So this is kind of an interesting. I mean, among the ways you could use this would be in teaching research.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as students are organizing their online sorts of things. I mean, it's great to be able to see what you or other people with like interests who are seriously surfing the net are doing, but you could also kind of, I mean, I like the kind of categorizing, and there's not a way to then sort of,
if you go where, I'm sorry,
sort it out. How do I you seem to be saying that I could also use it kind of to get aggregate senses of what other people are looking at under a certain category, art or education or photography or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to want me to, like, I mean, so if I start clicking and I'm looking now at Delicious Popular Photography, I've got a range of things here, but there's not a way for me to sort it out to see who's like Flickr has 4,400 people on it, but that's just sort of in the middle of the list. There's not a way for me to.
Right. Yeah, I don't see.
Order.
Right. Yeah, I think. I mean, you can subscribe to other people's bookmark lists and other people's tagged bookmark lists, and so you can create a library.
Right.
A dynamic library based on
other people
using other people as filters. You know, I mean, that's pretty much you're
so
going.
So I guess that's the social nature of it, rather than
right
doing a sort of bestseller model on
yeah
on Google, which you could almost already do just by searching for the same topic and seeing what comes up first.
Right, I think that's it exactly. I mean, you connect with the people, you sort of take a measure of them as a filter for information and decide whether or not you like that flavor. And then, you know, decide whether or not to subscribe to their bookmark list or a tag within their bookmark list.
That's interesting.
You know?
And it doesn't really, when you go, like, when you hit the home page or the main page, it doesn't, it doesn't give me an easy way to search you out if I knew you were on there. It really wants me to move by topic or to set my own up and then start to explore when I've linked to something that other people have.
Yeah, it wants that knowledge to emerge from your investigative activity.
That's kind of interesting.
And that kind of fits with what we're, kind of with our theme.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that into our Writely document. As emergent understanding, I'm going to add emergent knowledge. Or emergent what? Emergent sensibility.
I was struck listening to a couple of tech podcasts, Dave Weiner and a few other people, over the last few days, how much the kind of quick curve of things and the sense of, like, new material, but also, like, I love.